When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Hello, nerds. Welcome back to Blake's Book Club. Today, we're talking Chapter 26 of Voyager Whore's Brunch. And I will say that I am in the studio today because, you know, I just feel like it. I feel like just coming in here and giving some better quality to Blake's Book Club. I know it is somewhat kind of endearing to listen to me in my office at the donut shop, but I like this better. Anyway, thank you so much for taking the time to listen to Blake's Book Club. Of course, all you members of the Nerd Clan, you guys make this all happen. I really appreciate it. And this chapter, Chapter 26, Whore's Brunch. What what a great title from Diana. Because so much more happens in this chapter than just a whore's brunch. But I think it's a perfect encapsulation of everything that is going on around Claire. The people that are just coming in and out of Claire's presence, between Fergus and young Ian and Jamie and all the whores and Lady Jean and like the whole thing, it's just a cacophony of people. Like it never ends. And I do love how this chapter starts, which is in stark contrast to the way that Claire found herself when she awoke the last time, which is at the stones. This time she wakes up and she is alone, but she is completely aware of where and when she is, unlike the last time that she woke up when she was like she was all over the place and she wasn't sure when she was, where she was, how she was. She had gone through immense physical pain. She had traversed time and space, and in this time she's finally back and in the warmth among the smells of Jamie, and in a bed that she wakes up feeling warm and cozy and not necessarily at home, but she is complete now. She has her time with Jamie. And she may not be seeing the incredible landscape of the stones that surround her in the Scottish Highlands, but I would say the naked butt of Jamie is just as beautiful, you know, when he's over there relieving himself, if you will, in his chamber pot. And I just love that, you know, as these two have gone on, they've had this great journey with each other, meaning the awkwardness between the two was real, and it the way that it was written is justifiable, and it is special. Yet here they are again. She wakes up, Claire does, and looks over, sees Jamie peeing, and he just turns around, smiles, and is like, yep, we're back together again. And, you know, there's something special about their conversation and how they seem to just move about each other and how they see things in each other that are different because it's been a 20 years time passing, and that's okay. And Claire touches the wound that Jamie has on his leg, and they talk about how Lord Melton is the one that, you know, sent him home and, you know, in quotes, saved him. But I love Claire's regret. You know, she says, but we might have had more time. She looks back on this like she has made the wrong choice. That she could have stayed, should have stayed to take care of Jamie. He never would have been in danger that he was in if she had just stuck around. Then again, as Jamie points out, but if you did, you probably would have starved, you probably would have died, and God knows what would have happened to you if you had the kid, number one, and then who knows, you may not have been able to even have a child because of the poor nutrition, or maybe being on the run, or who knows. There are 1,000 possibilities. And yes, it is painful, and they were separated. There is a lot of regret in this conversation that Claire is having with Jamie, and it is fitting. It is fitting for someone when you look back, and we were actually just talking about Sirius Black on the Potterverse last night, and for those of you who are the Harry Potter nerds, you know Sirius Black, and you know the relationship that he shares with Harry, and that he's his godfather. But Harry, in the chapter that we just read, Cat, Rat, and Dog, is when that Sirius finally reveals himself to Harry, and Harry freaks out because he doesn't know the truth yet. He doesn't understand the situation, so he says, "You killed my parents!" And, of course, Sirius Black didn't, but he's looking back on it saying, "I kind of played a role in that." And he says, "I don't deny it." That same regret permeates through this conversation, and I love that reality for Claire, that she knows that she could have done something, but she didn't. And as a doctor, I think for her, that is something that's hard to accept. But it's okay, because Jenny from the Brock. Oh, goodness gracious. That girl don't take no for an answer. And I have to say that she is a fracking badass. She makes Jamie live. She takes care of him. Just because she has that Fraser stubbornness. Oh my goodness gracious. She does everything she can to make sure that she saves his leg, and she's not going to let him die. And I love this too, because later on, in the show, obviously I have not read The Fiery Cross, but Jamie freaks out at the notion of losing his leg. And there is a real possibility in this story that Jamie could, and probably should, but didn't, luckily, because again of the badass Jenny, that he could have lost his leg. And I find that also fitting for Jamie. It's something that just keeps popping back up. And I love this conversation on how they're looking back on their time, and how their futures and their pasts, and how they all kind of weave together for each other, and how they are, for both Claire and Jamie, they are who they are, and their lives have traversed